Good morning. Hi, my name is Tamara Bennett, and I am from Unity United Methodist Church. I am a lay minister and also a certified lay speaker, and I am so thankful to be here today, and I feel very blessed, and you guys are awesome. I mean, your prayers, these songs are prayers. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And it's just really awesome how God works and makes everything come together in a full circle. And so you guys are awesome. Can you please pray with me? Heavenly gracious Father, Heavenly Father, please let your Holy Spirit come, move around and through us. Oh, Heavenly Father, please use me as your vessel, Lord, that this message is from you and not from me. Please open the eyes and the ears of all that hear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. In your precious name, amen. I am doing a sermon on living a life of prayer, Daniel's prayer. The many Jews exiled in Babylon feared that God had forgotten them and that he was no longer in control of the swirl of human events. Daniel's life and prophecies gave them and us hope and restored their faith in the sovereignty of their God. Life may appear to be running out of control, but Daniel's prayer shows that he believed with all his heart that God is in control. And we can safely frame our lives in resolute trust in God's care. When you invite Jesus into your being, into your heart, being born again, you are supposed to also give him the run of the house, making him Lord over your life. However, many of us are slow to do that completely. Whether we admit it or not, we hesitate to believe that God can be trusted with every area of our lives. Daniel lived his life devoted to God. We have this prayer that he prays, and you can just hear him cry out to our Lord. One thing we know is that in this scripture is that Daniel was in God's word. This is my favorite book. Daniel was in reading the scrolls, memorizing the texts, and living the life God was setting out as an example. This book is a living and moving book. This book, our Holy Bible, pertained to the life back then, and it pertains to the life today. It is a book about how we should live our lives. The scriptures teaches us how to pray. Jesus prayed for us way back 2,000 years ago. Jesus and others are here today to teach us to pray. It is all here in this book, as we heard earlier today. In Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because he was reverent in submission. Matthew 6:5-6 says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, when your Father who sees that what is done in secret will reward you. When it comes to prayer, attitude is everything. But you also have to be careful that you are praying for the right reasons and don't doubt the Lord. Don't be greedy with self-motives. We all are guilty of that. Jesus' brother James said in 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. James also says in 1:6-7, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because that one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blowing and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. At salvation, we become rightly related to God as his children. He permanently seals us with the Holy Spirit and declares us righteous forever because in our position in Jesus Christ. But the Bible also uses the word righteous to describe a believer's conduct. This means that to be called a righteous person, we must be found in Christ. Philippians 3:9 says, and make it a habit to obey God. In Ephesians 4:1 and Colossians 1:10, if we willingly and knowingly engage in sin, then we do not live righteously and our prayers will lack power. When the Lord hears the impassioned prayer of a righteous person whose life reflects God's ways, Scripture promises that the Holy Spirit will begin his divine work. God responds with great power to the prayers of even one righteous person. And that person can be any one of us. All of us. Now, God may have a different plan than you have. But always believe that he is doing right for you. And God's will be done. Not yours, not ours, but his. We can't be selfish. And many times we are. But also when we're in face of crisis, we panic. We pray, oh God, please, you know, please. Have you ever seen that movie? Is it Bruce Almighty or something like that? It says, please give me a sign. And there's all these signs blinking, you know, and stuff. But he just totally misses it. Evan Almighty is kind of, But it does have a good message, but not for kids. But you know, we all do that. But God knows what's best for us, even when we think that he's wrong. We bring our prayers to God on the basis of who he is, not on the basis of who we are or what we have done. We stand tallest and strongest when we bow low in prayer. Daniel's petition were based on the character of God, his greatness, awesomeness, faithfulness, righteousness, forgiveness, mercies, and on his interests. Your people, your city, your holy mountain, your sanctuary. Prayer is about our one-on-one with God. Now, I am going to tell you a story about this toddler, this little boy. Okay, he sees this awful bug, and he goes screaming, and he's crying, and he goes running to his mother right into his arms. Or there's a little girl that screams for her dad to come and shoo away the monster that she thinks is around the corner. That is Because as parents, we protect our children and we're there for them. There is no embarrassment, no regret, just pure fear and absolute trust that their parents will fix whatever is wrong. Witnessing this can be a vivid reminder to our need to run to our Heavenly Father and throw ourselves into His arms when the trials of life become too much for us to bear as well. But is that the only time we should go to our Father is when we are afraid? None of us are exempt from prayer. A lot of us say we do not have time for prayer. Prayer is essential. It is life-sustaining. It is our lifeline, to our Father in heaven. Prayer is the duty of all believers. We have to continue steadfastly in prayer. The word continue means to be constant, persevering, and unwearied in prayer. It means to be constant and unbroken in unbroken prayer. To be in constant and unbroken fellowship and communion with God. It means to walk and breathe prayer. To live and move and have you being in prayer. It means to never face a moment when you are not in prayer. How is this possible? How can we, in these days, be in constant prayer? It seems impossible with all the life issues we face today. Work, kids, school, activities, after school activities, everything. I know that across from our church, we hear them cheering and everything, but they're not cheering for Jesus. They're cheering for that team that is playing. Because they've picked sports over God. Now, sometimes it happens. But it's sad to hear when you're in your congregation and you're hearing cheering going on. And it's not the cheering that's going on here. How can we do this? Develop an attitude of prayer. Prayer is the best way to communicate with God. But many people avoid prayer because they think that God doesn't like to listen and answers their prayers only in times of great need. Others pray and feel that their prayers are not answered. When you pray effectively, you are guaranteed an answer from heaven. Walk in a spirit of prayer. What does that mean? The Bible has something to say about this. We cannot walk in the Spirit and fulfill our own desires. We must choose to do one or the other. God's requirement is to focus on going about daily activities, doing the things that please Him rather than focusing on ourselves. I have come to walking in the Spirit as meaning that I am turning my back on my own desires. The thing I move away from are works of the flesh. It is me versus the Spirit. I choose to move in the direction of the Spirit. I pray for commitment to continue walking forward, never looking back. I can't do that for you. You can only do that for yourself. There's breath prayers. Breath prayers are little small prayers throughout the day. Just thank you, Lord Jesus. What a wonderful God you are. I praise you, Lord. Lord, please be with me as I'm in this meeting and I feel like I'm being pounded in the ground. Lord, help me to breathe when I feel like I'm so overwhelmed with all of these earthly things. Those are breath prayers. Take mental break from work and spend a moment in prayer throughout the day. We all get lunch breaks. Doesn't hurt just to say a little something. Pray always when your mind is not on some duty And I brought this up earlier, is that I have ADD, and I'm always running. I have to always be moving, and I just have to always be doing something. But sometimes that affects my ability to be in prayer, because I go from one thing to another to another to another, and then I go back to start finishing up what I started before. I'm good at switching a subject in the middle of a subject. Very good at that. So I struggle. I struggle with that. Arise early and pray before daily activities begin. Wake up 5 minutes early. Just 5 minutes earlier. And spend a worship time with God in prayer. And make this a continued practice. My husband and I, we have started praying before he goes to work. He leaves before I do. And we started a prayer in the morning before he leaves for work. And that sets my whole day. It sets my whole day in prayer and being in thanksgiving and looking at things. It makes me look at people differently. It makes me say, oh, why is this person so grouchy? You know, they're being just not, you know, very nice. But you don't know what happened to them that day. That's when you say a little breath prayer for that person. Spend an extended time in prayer before going to bed. Let's go to bed a little early. I read a devotional, I say my prayers, and it sets me for the night. It's not hard. I mean, it's hard at first, but once you make it a habit, then it just comes naturally. In all honesty, the vast majority of us waste minute after minute every hour and useless daydreaming and wandering thoughts, wasting precious time that could be spent in prayer. If we would learn to captivate these minutes for prayer, we would discover what it is to live and walk in prayer. This is something God cannot do for you. You are the one that has to discipline yourself to pray. Prayer is about commitment. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three gather in my name, I am there in their midst. Fellowship. The dictionary definition is companionship, a friendly association, mutual sharing, and a group of people with the same interests. In the biblical sense, though, it's even more than that. Fellowship has to do with mutuality in all parts of your life. You bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. You pray for one another. You love one another. You help one another. When there's a material need, you weep with those who weep. You rejoice with those who rejoice. It's growing in an association with people who are moving in the same pathway you are, and sharing with each other in your times of victory or need or your time of triumph or trial. It's growing in relationship. Fellowship is instrumental in shaping us. The Bible says that we become like those we spend time with. A good friend sharpens one another just as iron sharpens iron. In Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is reason enough to spend time with other believers. No two churches are alike. Each has its own personality. Some are great, some are good, and some are not so good. We are all called to be the church, so the church does not need to be a beautiful building. When you come to worship as a group of believers, do you feel the love of God there? And do you receive it in abundance from the people? You want to feel love and acceptance within your group. You want to make sure that your leader is leading by example. I bring this up because I know that I struggled with this, and many people do. When we come together in prayer and you say, okay, let's go and gather in a circle and everybody hold hands and we're going to pray together and everybody's going to just go around in this circle and they're going to pray. This was me a few years ago. You've got to be kidding. Oh my goodness. What am I going to say? Oh my Lord, it's almost my turn. And what am I going to say? And then I get that squeeze in my hand, and I just blurt out whatever. And then after I'm done, I squeeze the other person's hand to go. And then I'm thinking back to myself, what did I say? Did I sound stupid? Did I do this? Did I do that? And you know what? I missed the whole thing, the whole relationship of being one with one another. Everybody has that. But it's okay to be silent. It's okay to just pass. As long as your mind is focused on the Lord and praising the Lord and listening to the prayers. And it's okay. Silence is okay. Because as long as you are in prayer in your heart, that's all right. I tell you the truth. It takes practice and it takes a lot of faith. Our Father just wants a relationship with you no matter what. If you feel anxious, then pass, like I said. Sometimes the best prayers are the silent ones. But we, as people, liked to hear noise. We're so used to the noise that hearing silence makes us uncomfortable. But that is sometimes when we can just let the Holy Spirit fill us, is in that silence. Intercessory prayer is when you pray for people, the highs and lows, the educated and the uneducated, the important and the unimportant, the rich and the poor, the leader and the followers, the old and the young, the friend and the enemy. Pray for all men and women. Do not neglect, ignore, or pass any person. Every person needs prayer. Every person needs God. His salvation, his care, his direction, his approval, and his acceptance. You are encouraged and charged. You are charged to pray. When you see special needs in the lives, great sense of urgency, you are to plead and beg for the person or persons. The idea of that is intense and deep brokenness before God in behalf of others, that God would help and save that person. It can be so powerful and so moving. I myself have never felt anything like it until I joined our intercessory prayer on Thursday nights. It changed my life forever, and it could change yours too. I was that meek person that was afraid. But I got to tell you, God changed my life. And he can change yours through prayer. He can heal the brokenhearted, the people that feel like they're in the muck and can't get out because they feel stuck. God can make you a prayer warrior. I got to say, my life has totally changed. I will shout for the Lord. I will raise my hand. I will dance. I will praise my God because he gave me my life. I feel the calling of God so strongly. And he has made me a prayer warrior, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to pray to my Heavenly Father. I'm not afraid to shout amen. It just can be so powerful. Prayer is also about family. How can we make family prayer a priority? Prayer is the life breath and heartbeat of a truly Christian home. It's also one of the best ways to help your family thrive. When you pray together, each member of the family learns what it means to be intimate with God. When you see answers to prayer, you experience His love, His presence in your daily lives. To say this another way, prayer is vital because it proves a practical demonstration of the importance of faith. Indeed, praying together is one of the most critical things you can do to pass your convictions on to the next generation. Kids need to see genuine faith acted out in their parents' lives. Actions speak louder than words. So let your children hear you, bringing your needs and requests before the Lord in the attitude of humble expectancy. When they do, they'll get the idea that our Heavenly Father can be trusted to guide us through every situation we encounter in life. This can lead to some important and deeply meaningful discussions about spiritual things. In addition to strengthening each individual's connection with God, prayer has the side effect of deepening interpersonal relationships. It encourages family members to become more sensitive to one another's feelings. Prayer is also about intimacy with the Lord and with one another. The familiar time-worn saying is true: families who pray together stay together. In this brokenness of this world, wouldn't that be great? Because shared experiences of prayer quickly become opportunities to express mutual love, forgiveness, and grace. It's hard to hold on to grudges and cherish resentments when you're on your knees together before the Lord. As an act of shared intimacy, prayer creates family cohesiveness and strengthens the bond between husband and wife, brother and sister, and parent and child. Your family prayers will be successful to the extent that you can veer them to your children's immediate needs and interests. This doesn't have to be a difficult assignment. Just keep their level of maturity in mind. Use language that they can understand. Use bedtimes, mealtimes, when they get in trouble, conversations in the car, and discussions about childish fears and phobias as opportunities to help your kids trust the Lord and get comfortable in His presence. As we grow, pray with them about their personal struggles. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When answers come, draw attention to them by thanking God for what He's done. Keep a list of answered prayers on the refrigerator door. We as parents, relatives, friends, we are held accountable to make our children disciples for Jesus Christ. I have a poster in my office that says, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Is that what we want for our children? I don't want that for my children. Excuse me. My daughter, Samantha, when it comes time to test, she's in college. She's going to be a school teacher. When it comes time for tests, ever since she was younger, the teachers in fourth grade, this teacher comes to us and says, in front of, you know, Samantha and everything, she's going to be no better than a D her whole life. You're just going to have to face it. I was a teacher. So my husband and I were like, well, that's not going to happen. We're not going to let this lady define who my daughter is. So we invested in Sylvan. And 9 months later, she was a straight A student. And I gotta tell you that she gets very anxious when it comes test time. I know I do. I always have. I stress out. I stress out before I come up here in front of you all. But praying will help you make it through. It will help you so much, and it has helped her so much. She used to call me. We would pray over the phone. She don't have to call me no more. She just does it on her own. Or my three-year-old granddaughter has learned to pray. She goes to a Christian daycare, and they are teaching the kids how to pray before a meal. And I tell you, you know, when she gets to singing and she's going to bless the food for us, she goes, "Oh, the Lord is good to me, and I want to praise the Lord." Johnny Appleseed, amen. That is it. But you want to know something? She thanked the Lord, and she knew he was good for her. And she praised him. It is our responsibility to teach them mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and even friends. We have to pass down our faith. We have to tell our faith stories. Who else is going to do it? Nobody. And we are held accountable for them. We need to be involved in our children's lives. We need to teach them how to pray. Some of us didn't get this as a child. Some of us don't have children. But the six steps that we were given earlier are for you. Learn them and pass them on. Develop an attitude of prayer. Walk in a spirit of prayer. Take a mental break from work and pray. Pray always when you're doing something. Arise early and pray. Go to bed a little earlier and pray. Your lives will be changed. Prayer is for everyone. Have you ever felt movement in the pit of your stomach? And this is where you come in. Your testimony this morning is just perfect. God works, I say, comes in full circle. Have you ever felt that movement in the pit of your stomach, all warm and tingly all over when you're praising God through song or prayer? Maybe even cry when you hear a specific song. Or you just want to shout out and raise your hand. Everyone that has experienced the Holy Spirit has felt something. Maybe it is just a quiet peace within. The Spirit comes in all different ways. We all experience it different. The more you pray, the closer you get to our Father. And if you are overcome with despair, God loves us so much that he gave us the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit that allows us and helps us when we cannot find the words or the strength. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." I lost my mother-in-law, my mom, and my dad within a few months of each other this year. And then last month, I almost lost my twin brother to colon cancer. We didn't even know he had it. He had a gallbladder attack, and they took him in there, did x-rays, and seen a softball-sized tumor. And so I was dealing with a lot of grief. And just not too long ago, I lost my dog of 16 weeks. You know how they are. They're our children. They're our babies because they love us no matter what. Your kids could be mad at you, but your dog's not going to be. But I was in such grief that there was just no amount of anything that I could say. I just didn't know what to say because it was just boom, 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 boom. And that is when the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Because I know where my family is. And I know they're up there singing. And I know that they're going to be waiting there for me. And like I told the folks earlier, I don't say goodbye. I say, I will see you later. Because I know that I will be going to glory. Daniel was concerned about God's reputation, not his own. The glory of the Lord was not driving motivation in prayer. And so he concludes, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake. O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. Can you just hear him crying out for us? Daniel's one consuming passion in prayer was God's glory. Is that yours? The church is so much like ancient Israel in her sin. May we be more like Daniel in our prayers. If you have not experienced Jesus in your life and you want to, then come forward after service and we will pray with you. I invite you today to receive Christ in your heart or just renew the spirit within. Let us strive to be like Daniel, to be that person that trusted and loved, obeyed, worshiped, and prayed to our God every day. Put prayer first in your everyday lives. I promise you, your life will be forever changed. Let us pray. Heavenly gracious Father, thank you for the message that you have given us today, Lord, because it is all about you, Lord. Let us take this and go forth, Lord, and be prayer warriors for you. Help us to teach our children to pray and to trust you. Help us to open up and tell our faith stories. Heavenly gracious Father, help us to trust fully in you, that you are with us at every moment, every second of every day. That you, Lord, care for us. That you, Lord, want us to succeed. That you, Lord, have a path for each and every one of us. Show it to us. Help us to experience it. Help us to be more open to you. Let us praise you, Lord, for everything you have given us. In your precious name, amen.